Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. You know, it's time. I remember like fucking Invasion USA when Chuck Norris blows up Richard Lynch with a bazooka at the end. At the end of the movie, he just walks in the room and he says, "It's time." And then fucking like pulls out a bazooka and blows up Richard. He literally whispers it. You're like, okay, he says, "It's time." It's the best thing, because, I mean, look, he's in a room, like a small room. He uses a bazooka to blow up Richard Lynch, like 10 feet away. Richard Lynch is going to blow up when the rocket hits him. At the very least, it's going to seriously injure Chuck Norris when that fucking thing blows up, but he's fine. Richard Lynch's flaming corpse goes, like, flying out the window, but Chuck Norris is fine. Come on, bro. That's stupid. That is neither here nor there, dear listener, because it's time for the latest installment of the show that talks about you on purpose. It's Chuckles Mailbag.
We're back with another bursting mailbag for your ear holes.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Kai.
This is the Good Greater Garbage Month mailbag. Did you know that, Kai?
Shit.
It happened because in the month of February, apparently we are getting no engagement with Good Greater Garbage Month. That was a mistake. Because we just threw out a bunch of music no one's ever heard of and no one cares about.
And half of the comments have nothing to do with the music.
So we fucked up. Like, I wanted to do this as an experiment. I thought it would be fun to do all the Good Greater Garbage at once. Wouldn't that be great if we do a whole month dedicated to that? Apparently, no.
Apparently that is a horrible idea.
That was the worst thing we could have done because nobody's listening to the shows. We're getting a fair amount of comments, but most of these comments have apparently nothing to do with the shows we're recording. There will not be Good Greater Garbage Month 2 in 2024. So, dear listener,
I hope you don't look forward to that.
Because it will never happen again. Next time we're going to be doing, I don't know, what's popular right now? The Weeknd? Is The Weeknd popular? We could do a Weeknd episode. I know what I'm doing. Liturgy. Oh, man, Kai. All-time high numbers.
Oh, my gosh. But right now, we're going to start reading comments from our first episode from the month of Good Grade or Garbage, and that was Catherine Joseph's For You Who Are the Wronged from 2022. No shock, first comment, returning champion, anonymous. This lady would make a good yodeler, except I've never heard a suicidal yodeler. I totally agree with that. She'd make some good, and yes, also, her music does seem sadly suicidal. So yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
thank you for your comment, random anonymous.
Didn't her music basically start with the death of her son? It starts from a place of serious pain and anguish, because Joseph is the name of her son. She took the name from her late son. Her music clearly comes from a serious emotional place. I can't change the fact that so much of it didn't connect with me emotionally. I can't lie to myself. So yeah, as much as Catherine Joseph, because I've looked into her since we did the episode, and as much as I really appreciate her as an artist, and I like what she's doing overall, I just, this music, it was so one note for me that most of it just didn't connect. Better luck next time. Maybe she'll make a cool pop album. She'll be like the new Britney Spears. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. I'm moving on. Our next comment is from returning champion and friend of the podcast, Jeter. Not Derek Jeter, I don't think. I feel kind of bad that nobody's really commenting here, but I'm not really into the music, so I get it. Do the traps like any video games? Maybe talk about video games. Do we like video games? Kai, do you like video games?
Yeah. I don't play nearly enough. I haven't owned a console, I don't know, decades.
I still own a working PS4, but I haven't played it in 2 years. The last time I played was Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's been 2 years. So, but I played that so much that I felt I was losing my mind and had to stop. I'm talking about game time. I'd become like a crazed feral mountain man who was wearing like animal skins and just living off the land. I rode my horse back into the nearest town for the first time in, I think, months. Game time. I felt so alien. Wrong. I didn't know how to live among the normal human beings anymore. And I was like, wait a minute, this is a video game. What am I doing? I have to stop because I was too involved. What the fuck is happening? I'm not really John Morrison. I have to stop playing this game. 2 years later, still haven't picked it up again. I do still own a PS4. I could play any number of recent releases, but No.
I do like playing iPhone games. Sometimes I'll play some RPGs, but it's kind of the same thing where I'll get really into them. But iPhone games aren't 27 hours long. It'll take me like 2 days and then I burn through the story. And then it's just, oh, well, you can character and level build for an infinite amount of time after that. And I'm like, that shit gets old real quick. Oh, well, you can, you know, join a clan or a fucking guild and you can do, or I could play another game with another mediocre story and burn through that in a couple of days, or play something, read a book or listen to a podcast. Cheater, I don't know. We do like video games. I mean, we like playing video games. We're just not doing it a lot these days.
We're not gamers. And apparently neither is Anonymous.
Yes, because our next comment is from, I'm guessing, different Anonymous than a few minutes ago, but I don't know. Starts a little string of replies to Jeter. Fuck video games. All right.
Fuck video games, huh? Great.
Thanks for your pointless words of not wisdom.
Our next comment, our next reply comes from returning champion King Shark. I've been replaying Nier Automata recently. What a masterpiece. The bullet hell flashbacks get my hands sweaty on the controller like when I was a kid playing Sinistar at the arcade. I remember Sinistar, I think, but I don't know what Nier Automata is. Nier? Nier? It could be Nier. I think I just mispronounced that. Someone's like, there's someone yelling at me right now. You fucking pussy! It's Nier, you stupid ass! I don't know. Nier Automata. Automata.
Automata.
I don't know what the fuck that is. I know what Sinistar is.
I am Sinistar.
Weren't some of those on the Sega?
I know Sinistar was an arcade game. I'm sure it's reached consoles. I remember seeing it at the arcade. I played it at the arcade.
Run!
Thanks for your comment, King Shark. I haven't played that. Sounds cool. Next comment is from returning champion and ghoul of the podcast, CJ. Upon replaying Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, for approximately the 17th time over the holidays, I can safely say it's my favorite game of all time. It's so good. To be fair, it took me a while to really warm up to it, especially knowing all the controversy surrounding the game. Kojima basically being fired from his own creation at the 11th hour, but I just fell headfirst into that world and never completely resurfaced. It's the good shit, kids.
Hideo Kojima's swan song with the Metal Gear series, which he created. That was his baby. I've never played this, but I do remember that Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Kojima was fired from Konami. He was producing a Silent Hill game called Silent Hills, which was canceled. The only evidence of that game that still exists is a playable trailer called PT, which stands for playable trailer. Eventually, Sony, the PlayStation store, pulled PT from their store, so you can no longer download it. And so people would have PT downloaded to their PlayStations. They couldn't re-download it, so they couldn't delete it. They had to keep it safe. They had to make sure their PlayStations were still operational, because if their PlayStations broke down, they couldn't play PT anymore, and they couldn't re-access it.
Right.
So that became a weird commodity.
You couldn't save it to a fucking thumb drive and then just put it in your other PlayStation. And then when they pulled the download, it was only on your unit.
And so they decided to pull the plug on that, and they started like working on pachinko machines. They no longer made video games anymore. That was a big deal for a lot of people, because that was a collaboration between Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. They were working together on Silent Hills. Kojima eventually made a game called Death Stranding. Del Toro has a role in it, an NPC in the game. But I never played Death Stranding. I've heard some people calling it an absolute masterpiece, like literally a masterpiece of video games. Some people calling it the worst thing they've ever played. I have no idea what the fuck it is. I have not played it. Have not played Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain. I don't have any dog in this hunt. I'm glad you enjoy it, CJ.
Thank you for your comment, CJ.
Yeah, thank you so much for the comment. I'm sorry. That leads us to the last comment on this thread, also by returning champion Anonymous, who it may be the same Anonymous who said fuck video games. I don't know. I really like Stardew Valley a lot. It's a game that I can play for a while. After work, sometimes just to unwind. It's enjoyable working toward vague long-term goals with no pressure. I've tried to explain the allure of Stardew Valley to some of my friends, and they look at me like I'm crazy. There's just something about the game's vibe that I find satisfying. My character is slowly courting the village school teacher, and her family situation with her mother feels so real and sort of sad at times. I actually care about the NPCs in this game. They're my friends and neighbors. I actually have Stardew Valley. I have it on my phone. I play that sometimes. Yeah. I think I know where Anonymous is coming from. This is a game I actually have played, weirdly enough. Look, I banged the school teacher.
You too, huh?
There's a really cool moment if you're courting the school teacher. She'll send you a letter, and she'll tell you to meet her at the bathhouse because, of course, the game has a bathhouse after dark. And if you want to go, you can't go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to. But if you go, you'll wander into the bathhouse, and she's in one of the big pools. This heartfelt romantic scene will unfold. You're together in this pool, having this lovely little conversation. You'll start kissing. It felt so chaste and wonderful, and it actually felt like new love. That's so wonderful that this game could capture a moment like that. I did not expect it. It came completely out of nowhere. It threw me for a loop. But yeah, I really like Stardew Valley. It's a very relaxing game. You can kind of get into a zen state. It's got combat. You can go into the mines and fight monsters. You don't have to. It's never a requirement. You can farm. Mm. You can just enjoy fishing and spending time with the villagers. Thanks for the comment, Anonymous. I appreciate that.
And our next comment is back to the main Catherine Joseph post. Returning champion and ghoul of the podcast, Paisley Jaguar. There's a deeply personal component to Catherine Joseph's music that makes me feel like I'm hearing something I shouldn't be hearing. She lays her soul bare with her music, and I love her for her bravery. It's not for everybody, and it shouldn't be for everybody. What heartbreaking beauty on display.
Lovely words. Thank you so much for those words. And our next comment is from Anonymous, who says, beef injection.
That's all. Beef injection. Okay. Our next comment is from a new commenter, Franklinstein. You guys didn't put this in your dumb canon? Why not? Are you too afraid to really open yourselves up to music that can move you emotionally? Big, strong dudes who don't like sensitive artists? I don't like that. Be better consumers of art. Well, that's very snooty of you, Franklinstein.
Well, I'll tell you what, Franklinstein, if that is indeed your real name, he's never going to listen to this podcast. But if you listen to this podcast, why don't you go listen to the episode where we discuss Halsey's If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power. You'll listen to basically the last half of that episode is us trying not to cry while talking about the music. So why don't you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
You shut up. Get back to us after you listen to that episode. Then maybe you can try to accuse us of being manly men who don't know how to cry. Anyway, our next comment is a reply to Dear Franklinstein, a reply from Anonymous who says, be a better Franklinstein.
That makes me happy. All right. Well, thank you, Anonymous, and the rest of you people for your comments. Keep them coming.
Fuck yeah.
And we're going to keep them coming. Coming.
Coming. You know,
can I just... And coming soon, or right now to your ear holes, is the next fresh batch of comments we have on the next Good Greater Garbage episode from
Florist by Florist. Go ahead and read the first, read the comment.
Returning Champion Anonymous. I enjoyed listening, and it hit me in the feels more than once, so I voted yes. Put it in your canon.
Just read the next one, who cares?
And the next comment is from, I'm guessing, a different Anonymous, and they just wrote, no.
No.
Thank you. That was completely not helpful. Next up,
it's CJ, a good friend of the podcast and apparently a guy who's banged in a graveyard to black metal. I voted yes because I'm an agent of chaos. Also, I enjoy the music and tabulous.
Thank you, CJ.
Oh god, this is a recipe.
Yeah, all right, here we go. So
are you gonna read that?
Oh yeah, we got recipes, people. We dared people to leave us recipes, and y'all came through. The first recipe is from a returning champion and friend of the podcast, Sammy. Allegedly, not my real name. My Monte Cristo.
What is a Monte Cristo?
Well, I'm going to fucking tell you right now. It is like a sandwich with a brioche, if you're ready for the big time. Dijon mustard. You're going to need a little bit of oil. 6 eggs. Some heavy cream, cinnamon. Ooh, little apple brandy. Orange zest. Meat and cheese. Some syrup and sugar. Build your sandwich with mustard, meat, and cheese. Place the sandwich in the fridge for 30 minutes. Critical. Mix eggs, cream, brandy, and orange zest in a pan. Place the sandwich in egg mixture. Soak for 1 minute each side. Immediately pan fry on medium heat on stove with oil. Remove from heat when both sides are golden brown and the sandwich is heated through with cheese melted. Optional, cut sandwich, garnish with maple syrup and powdered sugar. It's delicious. When made right with that maple syrup at the end, you feel like you're eating a French toast Sammy. Decadent and wonderful. Review that, you nerds. I might do that.
Dear listener, if you would actually like to see the full recipe, actually there are a few recipes listed here, so go to the blog post entitled Florist by Florist, Good Greater Garbage, and the recipes are in the comments. So yeah, I've never had a Monte Cristo Sammy, so I may make this. I probably won't, but I may.
I might use the recipe part just to make some French toast that way with the eggs and a fucking splash of apple brandy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad. I have to admit, though, I'm not too keen on making a sandwich like this and then just covering it with maple syrup. That seems like a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah, but I would usually, when I've seen it in a restaurant, it's usually just like a sandwich. There's not like, I don't know, maybe there's maple syrup in it. They just make it easy for you to eat.
If you want to know how to make a Monte Cristo the way Sammy, not my real name, does, go to the blog, because we're done. Our next comment is from Returning Champion Anonymous, who says, make episodes you actually want to listen to. So far, your show is all garbage this month. And you know, Anonymous, you may be onto something. Good Greater Garbage Month, as I said earlier, is, I hate to say it, because I really was hoping for more. Good Greater Garbage Month was kind of a failure, so not going to do this again. So yeah, you're right, Anonymous. We should do music people want to listen to, which is why we decided to go the opposite direction.
That's why we flipped off that direction.
Norman Rod apparently has another goddamn recipe.
Oh, we've got recipes. That's right. Norman Rod, returning friend of the podcast, writes, I've been using my grandma's angel food cake recipe for years now, and I've heard nothing but praise. It's always a pain in the butt to make, but it's always worth the effort. You need some specialized equipment to do it right, of course. And a lot of people tend to psych themselves out when they read the steps, but it's really not that difficult. You just have to go one step at a time, and before you know it, you've made a delicious angel food cake.
Look, Kai, you can't read this recipe.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just going to read the ingredients. This is a very intricate recipe. You're going to need, you know, some ingredients. You're going to need some specialized equipment, an oven, and you're going to need to serve it immediately. So if you want to check out the recipe, go to the blog. Thanks, Norman. But I'm going to read the part after. I would suggest serving immediately because there's really nothing better than fresh, warm angel food cake. But if you want to decorate with frosting, you got to allow the cake to cool at room temp first. Otherwise, the frosting will just run off and nobody wants that. I prefer to serve my cake basically naked, usually with a dusting of powdered sugar and fresh coffee. I prefer a tall latte with a chocolate hazelnut drizzle on the side, but you can serve yours with a few scoops of good ice cream, which is also delicious. A good angel food cake is a versatile dessert, so feel free to experiment as much as you want as soon as you get the basic recipe down, and it will serve you well for the rest of your life. You'd be surprised how excited and impressed people often are when they realize you can make a mouth-watering angel food cake. I even brought out this lovely recipe to help woo the young lady who eventually became my wife, so I'd say it worked. Bake one of these delicious cakes and you'll see how amazingly talented my beloved grandmother was in the kitchen. You won't regret it, guys. You know what? I just fucking might. I don't know.
I've made angel food cakes on several occasions. When I made it, it came out, it was a success. It felt like magic. All this weird shit actually worked.
And I got this angel, beautiful, giant, fluffy cake.
It's so good. It's so fucking good when it's warm.
Yeah, I think that was the key part of Norman's request there, is you got to eat it warm, like a fresh piece of bread or something. It's just when it's warm it's and it's fresh out the oven, it's just perfecto.
That's why it's called an angel food cake, because when you get it and it's warm and it's good, it's heavenly. He made an angel food cake that helped woo his lady love. You know what? I believe him. If you find yourself in a situation when you're trying to impress a potential romantic partner and you got something in your back pocket, like an angel food cake, and you can do it well, that's only going to score you points with that person.
Yeah, that's not like a first or a second date either. That's like a fifth date. They've spent the night at your place. You've hung out a lot. I really want to keep this thing going. You know, you still got something to prove in the relationship.
Yeah, I've perfected a cheesecake recipe that I'm pretty sure could land me a wife if I really wanted it to. I think I could. I think I could do it. I'm not looking. I'm not on the market, but I think it could happen.
Are you talking about, I just imagined you with like a fishing rod with a cheesecake on the end, like trying to lure into the basement.
Hey, you know, whatever works, Kai.
That's all that matters now.
All right. Well, thank you for that very involved recipe. It is on the blog for anybody who's interested. I have an angel food cake recipe that I'm very happy with already, but I may try this one. So thank you for that, Norman Rod. Our next comment is from Returning Champion, and maybe I want to say Trapo's best friend. It's Max Power. Oh, he's got a recipe. Great.
Take it from the top.
I've got a recipe for you all to try. It's one of my favorites, and it's always a hit around these parts. And the recipe is entitled Max Power's Drunken Pizza Orgy. First, you invite a few or three or seven close friends over on a Saturday night. You get your entertainment ready, whether it be a well-curated evening of bizarre movies or an extended playlist of your favorite brain-melting music. Then you order a bunch of pizzas, at least five large pies with whatever the fuck you want on them. I would suggest over-ordering because you're gonna get hungry again later. Then you all get really good and high. Obviously, I would recommend psychedelics, but if you just want to get toasted with some kind bud, then get to work on that. Edibles might be a better choice here because you're going to want that shit to roll over you in waves throughout the evening. Mixing psychedelics with edibles can be a lot of fun, as long as you separate the ingestion of the former from the latter by at least an hour. In my experience, you don't want to start in with the THC until the LSD is really kicking in. It tends to enhance the experience in a really meaningful way, but proceed with caution, because if you're not used to any of this stuff, you might have a lazy, slow-motion freakout on your couch. Some people have issues with nausea when they're on psychedelics, and the THC helps to ameliorate that issue. So it serves two purposes in this case. Look at that, Max Power looking out for their friends. When the pizzas arrive, try not to melt in front of the delivery person while you retrieve your food. And don't forget to pay for the pizzas with actual money. You should probably lay out your method of payment ahead of time, otherwise you might insistently try to force a polished stone or a broken remote control into a confused and concerned teenager's shaking hand as they stand in the doorway, wondering if they'll be able to outrun you if they need to make a break for their car. After that terrifying task is done, eat a bunch of that pizza and drink a bunch of water or tea or coffee or whatever the fuck else you and your gathered friends prefer to wet your gonzo whistles while you watch your insane movies or listen to your screaming noise playlist. After that, well, just do whatever feels good. I'm not literally telling you to engage in an orgy. The title of this recipe is merely referring to the act of consuming large quantities of delicious pizza while being high as a fucking kite with your pals. But if your fucking pals feel like becoming fucking pals while you're cruising through this decadent bacchanal, then you might as well take things to their logical conclusion. Get creative. Transform yourselves into a gestalt entity that understands no boundaries of flesh or the illusion of the passage of time, only the endless circle of transcendent bliss that you have discovered burning within your interlinked souls. Or if you're a boring dummy, just pass out on the couch halfway through Necromantic.
Alright.
After all that's finished, and you wake up the next afternoon, and you all presumably have it literally fused into one glistening mangle of limbs and erogenous zones, just have everybody pitch in and clean up the mess you've surely made. Then just move on with your lives. You're all adults. You better all be adults. So handle your fucking business. If everybody enjoyed themselves, then do it all again sometime. If not, find better friends. That's it. That's my recipe. Bon appetit. I don't know how to pronounce the rest of that because it's French. I don't know what the fuck.
That's quite a recipe for a fantastic and magical evening.
I hunger.
Or a horrible, terrifying, mind-altering destruction fest. It could go either way. Depends on where you're at. I think I've used several versions of this recipe before.
One time we ate a whole bunch of cupcakes and got really...
Frozen cupcakes with ice cream while drinking several Coca-Colas.
Well, we were so high, and then we ate all the cupcakes and ice cream, and then we drank a bottle of... Then we drank a bunch of Coca-Cola, and then we passed out, and we didn't puke. Somehow we didn't puke.
We did not feel good, though.
We kept it all down.
Well, Max Power, thanks for guiding us on another magical journey. And, of course, Max Power has a string of comments here immediately following that. Anonymous writes, "That's not a recipe." Max Power replies,
"Oh, it is so a recipe, oh anonymous one. Recipes don't have to conform to your rotten standards, chum."
Thanks, Max Power. And then this is where it gets confusing, because now I believe the same anonymous replies with an actual recipe. Candied bacon. They proceed to tell you how to make candied bacon, and they say, "That's a recipe, not your weird obsession with pizzas and drugs rambling. Try some candied bacon and stop taking LSD."
And then Max Power replies, "Thanks for sharing your complicated and valued recipe, concerned anonymous person. Believe it or not, but I also understand the value of a good recipe. Allow me to share one of my personal favorites in the hopes that you will enjoy it for years to come." The caramel unicorn. One large bowl of melted caramel, warm, not hot. Now you can make your own caramel if you're confident in your culinary skills. Or you can buy your favorite brand from your local grocer. I am no great chef, so I opt for the latter. There are vegan options, of course, which I obviously prefer, but you clearly have no qualms with eating animal products, so I don't think that's going to be an issue for you. One large bowl of finely chopped nuts. These can be whatever nuts you prefer. And you can buy them pre-chopped, or you can buy them whole and chop them yourself. I prefer to gently toast pecans on my stovetop for several minutes before chopping them, because I find that toasting really brings out a deeper flavor. But if you don't want to bother with the extra step, that's cool. One erect penis, what?
It's the unicorn. Keep reading. You gotta keep reading.
Give me a minute. I think I just had... Oh, hang on.
Were you just rolling with the recipe?
I didn't know. I don't read this. I don't read ahead. One erect penis comes in. One erect penis. In a situation like this, it would be best to shave your pubic area entirely. And you don't want your partner dealing with a disgusting, sticky bush when this is supposed to...
be fun and exciting for
this is supposed to be a fun and exciting experience for you both. This is also why I emphasize warm caramel, because you don't want to give yourself second degree burns at least when you dip your erect member into a bowl of extremely hot caramel. Make sure the caramel is warm enough to be pliable, easily coating your penis, but not too cool and not too hot. Otherwise, this isn't going to be fun for anybody. Basic rule, if you can submerge your index finger in the caramel for 10 seconds without pain, your more sensitive tissue is probably going to be fine. I don't understand what I'm reading. Here's what you're going to want to do. Submerge your erect penis in the bowl. Make sure it's completely coated before moving on to the next step. Quickly submerge your coated erection in the contents of your second bowl, making sure to use your hands to pour the chopped nuts over your erection until said erection is... This can't make it to the episode. It's entirely covered in nuts and very little to no caramel-covered surface area remains. Present your beautiful and delicious caramel unicorn to your delighted partner. You can probably figure out whatever happens next. There are, of course, many variations that you can try. Various syrups or candy coatings can be substituted for caramel, which I would encourage if you're not too keen on the idea of submerging your penis into any hot, viscous liquids. I find rainbow sprinkles are often a fine substitute for chopped nuts if you're feeling more festive. This keeps going. If it's somebody's birthday, you can always smother your member in whatever jam or jelly you prefer and coat it with bright sprinkles, then lie on your back and present your partner with a tasty treat while you sing happy birthday to them. The holiday variations are, of course, endless. Red, white, and blue for the 4th of July, maybe even a few sparklers for a flammable twist. You could dye your penis for Easter and conceal it in a nest of delicious cotton candy. Those are just a few suggestions. Let your mind go wild. As long as it's between two or more consenting adults, it's all good. And obviously, you can adapt this recipe for female anatomy. Don't think I'm being sexist. For the vulva, I prefer to call it the Nutty Bunny. And if you want to get the breasts involved, I've always been partial to the moniker Rocky Mountains. But I hope you're clever enough to come up with more imaginative names. You're welcome and enjoy.
God damn it, Max Power.
Okay, so caramel unicorn, is that a thing now?
It is now.
I can't put that.
Yeah.
This is a recipe. The motherfucker's telling us to smother your dick in
candy
caramel
on your dick and slob on the nut.
Sing happy birthday to him while you're lying on your back and there's sparklers sometimes. I understand what Max Power did there. They're basically just giving a giant middle finger to the anonymous person who fucking giving them shit. I get it. I mean, that's like a real thing. I'll put it
in there. I don't fucking care. Max Power, thank you for keeping us on our fucking toes here at Trapo, because we were not expecting that particular type of recipe. Neither was our friend Anonymous, because they had they had to get the last word in. Fucking pervert. They're right, and we love you for it, Max Power. Thank you.
We're moving on to our Good Greater Garbage Month post for 1981's Anthem by Toya. And
first comment is from returning champion and BFF of the podcast, Archbishop Mac. There's a kind of Italian metal supergroup out there called Neptunian Maximalism, and I only just discovered them through their massive triple album titled Eons, and I don't know what to think about it other than I figured I needed to bring it to your attention if it's not already on your radar. I know one of you has expressed a love for John Zorn's work in the past. You even that's made up an award category for his work, and that's no small feat, and this is reminiscent of that, but it's also got black metal and doom and drone and freeform, and I don't know what to make of it. His band's name is very apt because the music absolutely sounds like an explosion of otherworldly maximalism. Traps need to keep apprised of these developments after all. Just listen to this epic madness and let it obliterate your sanity for a while. And Anthem is great.
Neptunian Maximalism. That's a great name.
Italian metal supergroup. I'm down.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Archbishop Mac. And thank you for enjoying Anthem. And our next comment is from Anonymous, who says, I don't care for this stuff. It's just goofy and a little too juvenile to be taken seriously. Well, go fuck yourself. Thank you for being an unproductive weasel, Anonymous. Appreciate that, as always.
Thank you for nothing. And our next comment is from returning champion and friend of the podcast, Benny. I don't know anything about the artist, so the episode taught me a few things. It's kind of messed up regarding the double standard women still often have to face in the music industry, but no journalist could get away with giving a prominent female musician the nickname Lisping Ferret in this day and age. I also like the album. Thanks for introducing me to Anthem. Well, you're welcome, Benny.
Yeah, you can't get away with calling... You couldn't call Taylor Swift the Lisping Ferret. You get so much shit from the industry, you'd be fucked for life. How the fuck could someone get away with that back then? The things you're saying are going to scar people. You're a journalist. You can get away with it.
What's wrong with you that you're wasting your talent writing the shit you're writing when you could be writing real life stuff?
Well, fuck you. Thanks for the comment, Bimmy. Appreciate your feedback. We're moving on to our next comment by new commenter. Rejected.
You can probably skip this one, but go ahead. You read it.
Well, you want to skip it? What drives me nuts about your podcast is that you do just ramble about this stuff. You don't seem to do a lot of or any prep work. Yeah, that's not fair. We do prep work. And when you have in your little conversation, you end up just getting lost in pointless tangents and you stammer a lot while you're trying. Oh God, if only you knew. Do you really think your banter is so good that you need to share it with people? Because I assure you it isn't.
Juice.
Pretend to be professionals. You might actually make an entertaining podcast. I wanted to hear a show that actually went in-depth with Anthem, an album that you pointed out has precious little content available on the web. And there are a few nuggets of information here that I appreciate, but it's all presented in this cringy, amateur hour show that can't really get into any groove. This show had the chance to be an actual resource for fans of Toya Wilcox, but instead it's just a waste of potential. I looked through your podcast library, and there are a fair number of subjects I'd like to hear more about, but if they're anything like this, I can't see myself wasting any more of my time. Sorry, guys, life is too precious a gift to waste it being frustrated listening to a podcast like yours. I can refute some of these points. We do research. That's true.
One of the whole points that we made in this episode was, this is all of the information we could find. We didn't call her and ask her. We didn't dig up the bandmate's fucking Facebook page and message them to find out more info.
Yeah.
We fucking just did some research on the internet.
Yeah, I didn't try to contact Toya Wilcox. Could you help me do an in-depth interview about Anthem? I didn't do that. I'm nobody. I couldn't ask her that. I found as much information about Anthem as I could. This is an album that meant a lot to me. It has meant a lot to me for about 20 years now, so I figured I'd share what I knew about it. I couldn't go in depth on Anthem because, as you said, there's just not a lot of information out there. I'm sorry, and like I understand, like the format, the way we present the show is not necessarily to your liking. We're not a polished professional operation,
right?
We never tried to be.
There's this weird thing where a lot of people kind of quote shit posts like this, where they're not positive or constructive, assuming that we're trying to become the next popular podcast, assuming a lot of our intentions that are also not necessarily true. If we really wanted to, we would get professional equipment and record this shit on computers instead of just getting drunk and calling each other on Friday night.
I think the thing that you might get hung up on is that we do this because we enjoy it, and if we don't enjoy it, we won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
This is not our job, and we're not trying to make it our job. Like, we like rambling about this shit, and apparently somebody does like listening to us ramble about it. But you don't have to reject it. That's fine. If this isn't your cup of tea.
I have also, as they kind of mentioned, I've actually told people, like, if you want to listen to the podcast, cool. If not, scroll through the titles and listen to some of the music we talk about. I would rather people do that first, and then if the music catches your ear, maybe listen to that episode.
That's one of the things I really tried to do when it comes to a lot of the more obscure music we talk about. I tried to include more clips of the music. That way, if somebody ends up listening to the podcast, they happen upon it because they're searching for something, they hear a few clips of some music. That might get them to actually listen to the rest of the music. Like, wouldn't that be cool if that gets them into something and they end up taking a deep dive and getting into some, some cool new band? That's, like, my only wish. And this is something, look, somebody said this earlier in the fucking thread. Somebody earlier said that we introduced Bimmy. Bimmy said that we introduced them to Anthem. We did exactly what I wanted us to do right here.
Even if it's sometimes a cringy amateur hour.
I'll tell you one thing, we are amateurs, but I'll tell you one thing, Rejected. I know you're not going to listen to this episode. It doesn't matter. You're done with our show. But I'll tell you one thing. Honestly, if you listen to our Bat Out of Hell episode, I think maybe you might enjoy it. I think you might. That's the one episode we've tried so far, or at least I've tried so far, in terms of research where I really try to present something in a semi-professional manner.
Yeah.
That's also one of our least listened to episodes, which really still makes me angry because that's one of the ones that put the most effort into. But hey, you know what, Rejected, listen to our Bat Out of Hell episode. You may change your tune about Trapper if you listen to that one. If anyone listens to that one, you may change your tune. No one listens to it,
or fuck off. Either way,
I'm just saying, anyone listen to the Bat Out of Hell episode,
please, because
I put so much fucking work in.
There was a reply to Rejected's comment from a returning friend of the podcast, Magenta Knights. Life's too precious, but you were happy to waste a bit of yours posting on the show's blog to tell the hosts how much they suck. Trapper is far from perfect, but they're spirited amateurs, and that's okay too. They could always do better, but at least they care.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you, Magenta Knight.
Our next comment, I guess new commenter, the Great Electron. Toya Wilcox taking wild swings and making some weird damn music back in the day. This stuff is like a messed up combination of Kate Bush and Nina Hagen with a heavy pulp sci-fi influence that I really appreciate. She straddled the line between commercially accepted pop music and off-the-wall experimentation with her early work. I think it's all pretty fascinating. Anthem standing head and shoulders above the rest of her catalog with the group Toya. I love this stuff, and thanks for putting it in your canon, whatever that means.
See, some people like this weird, obscure shit from our February episodes. Thanks, hey, the Great Electron. I love that.
They name dropped Nina Hagen. Nobody does that. So you're tops in my book, the Great Electron.
That's to say, you already got Dustin's attention right there.
No, let's move on to our next comment, Kai. Tell me.
All right, you want me to read the? All right, I'm going to read this last comment from returning friend Anonymous. Jungle's Jupiter is out there, man. I dig it. This chick is spaced out. It's good, man.
Did Tommy Chong leave that fucking comment?
That's what I was thinking.
What the fuck? I mean,
if you're talking to like a stoner dude and he talks that way, that's fine. But if they type that way and it's grammatically correct, there's commas and periods. wait a minute. That is one of the weirdest comments. Max Power didn't fucking faze me. Orgy recipe. All right, cool. That really threw me off.
No, that's weird. Why.
Like, that's weird, right?
That's weird. Something's happening there. I don't know about that. That's really weird.
It's like they were in character, but we don't know what character that is, so it doesn't make any sense to us.
Well, we're going to move on to our next batch of comments, our final batch of comments from the Good Greater Garbage Month episode, Giant Palm by Naima Bach and Pripyat by Marina Herlot. By the way, if you are not aware, Giant Palm has officially been inducted to the Trapo Essentials canon. Thank you for not voting because nobody showed up. And our first comment is from returning champion, and I'm going to assume different, Anonymous. Anonymous! This is a strange pair of albums to group together for a show. They're both good, though. Maybe that's the common thread. Talented young ladies making good music. Pripyat might ultimately be a little too out there for me, but I still can appreciate what it's doing. So good work, ladies.
There's a lot of strong female influences going on here.
Kind of deliberately don't listen to a lot of male artists anymore. I don't know why. It's not something I purposefully decided to do, but I've gravitated much more toward female artists or female-fronted bands in the past few years. It's just something that's happened. I'm just saying, it's not like I don't listen to male artists. I don't. I do. For some reason, I don't want to talk about them so much anymore. I don't know why.
Moving on.
Hey, Art Deco's a dude.
That's true. And our next comment is from new commenter, Giant Palm, some other one. Okay. I've been listening to a new release called Follow the Cyborg from Miss Grit. It's got great beats and a futuristic transhumanist vibe that's really cool. She's a talented young lady making music that's better than most of the crap I hear on the radio here in Oklahoma. Hey, Oklahoma's back. But maybe I'm listening to the wrong radio stations. I don't have a lot of options where I live. It's mostly talk radio and country music. We know about that. But there are some decent rock stations. Big storms came through the other night, knocked out my electricity nearly 24 hours. I had to throw out everything in my refrigerator, so I'm not happy. I couldn't cook any of the food because my apartment has an electric range. I was screwed. I went to see a movie because my power was out, and I didn't want to spend all night sitting in the dark. I saw Ant-Man 3 because it started 5 minutes after I arrived, and I missed the last screaming of Cocaine Bear. That Ant-Man shit sucked. I don't know if I've ever felt so disconnected from a movie in my life. And I like the first two Ant-Men.
Ant-Man?
This Quantum Mania crap was a huge mistake. Bill Murray was in one scene, did nothing, then got eaten by an octopus monster. MODOK was there, did almost nothing, then decided to be a good guy for no reason at the end, then died, so that was pointless. The new bad guy, Kang, was supposed to be a scary badass, but he lost to Ant-Man in a fist fight. This is the guy that's supposed to be the new Thanos? I guess Michelle Pfeiffer fucked him when she was trapped in the quantum realm for years?
What the fuck are you talking about?
She also fucked Bill Murray, I guess. I don't know why the movie needed to tell me any of this. There were no consequences for the good guys at all. They just won. Nobody died, except MODOK. But they could always bring him back again?
What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
Is this real?
It's still going. It's still rambling.
We're just reviewing Ant-Man 3 now?
Apparently. MODOK in this movie was actually the bad guy from the first Ant-Man movie. The evil corporate guy who shrunk away to nothing at the end. I guess he shrank down into the quantum realm and his head stayed big for no reason, even though his arms and legs and body got so small. So Kang built him a big robot body so he could fly around being an asshole to a bunch of dumb-looking oppressed aliens in the tiny universe. I don't like that. I don't like any of that. I was hoping Ant-Man would die, or somebody, maybe Michael Douglas. He looks so tired and confused in this movie, like an old man trying to figure out how to use TikTok or something. Grandpa didn't know what the hell was going on, and just had no idea what he was supposed to be looking at or interacting with. Kind of sad, honestly, but not as sad as me paying to see Ant-Man 3, because I wanted to escape the eerie gloom of my dark apartment for a few hours. I could have just sat at a diner and drank a bunch of coffee and had some pancakes. It would have cost about the same, and at least it would have felt like I'd accomplished something. But Follow the Cyborgs is awesome. I think you guys should know about that. You should also know that I ate a toasted everything bagel for lunch today at work. It was great. I stole it from a coworker's cubbyhole in the commissary because I knew they were out sick, and I slathered it with cream cheese. He'll come to work tomorrow, dreaming about that bagel all morning. Then he'll find it missing at lunch, and he'll wonder what happened to it. He's one of the biggest assholes I know, so the other employees will keep my secret. The prick knows everyone hates him, so he'll suspect the whole office anyways. Fuck him. Let him whine about his missing bagel to HR. They won't care. They hate him more than I do. He's already had a warning for making lewd remarks in front of one of the secretaries. He knows he has to be. Hey, the bosses are looking for an excuse to fire his creepy ass. At least my power's back on and I have an empty fridge at home. And I don't get paid until Friday. It's gonna be a hungry week, but I savored that bagel. And I'll savor the look on that prick's face when he realizes what's missing even more. Who needs food when you've got spite?
Oh my god.
So, I can only assume that, like, Giant Palm, some other one, got back to their apartment, or the power had just come back on, and they'd listened to our podcast coming back from
Ant-Man 3.
And none of this has anything to do with us, and they don't mention the podcast. They just comment with some random shit, and it's hilarious. Wow. I don't know. Thanks for that. We've got more comments. Why don't you read
this? Spaced Cadet says, I work in a local donut shop and I really enjoy it. I come in around 2:45 a.m. to get started and the place opens at 6. We serve all kinds of weird donuts and we get to experiment with flavors and decorations. So it's a surprisingly fulfilling experience on an artistic level. There's something very satisfying about watching people come in and enjoy the things I create. One of the things I enjoy most is working on the morning donuts before we open our doors. I can play whatever I feel like and I don't have to worry about the noise level. I jam out to all sorts of stuff on an average morning, and I've started incorporating some of the music I'm discovering on Trapo into my playlists. All the good, greater garbage music from this past month is rolling in and out of rotation, but Pripyat might be the MVP for me. It's easy to slip into a groove and just zone out while working. Thanks for introducing me to some killer new music, Trapo. You're welcome, Space Cadet.
Thanks, Space Cadet, and keep making those tasty little morsels. Pop quiz, motherfucker. What's your favorite kind of donut?
I don't know. I don't eat donuts very often. The last donut I had was from Dunkin' Donuts, and it sucked. I had donuts from the Donut Hole a few weeks ago. They were all pretty good. They make delicious donuts at the Donut Hole. I don't eat them very often. A few times a year. I always kind of savor them when I do.
I used to like maple glazed Long Johns.
The one I had, the best
maple
one,
bars.
Peanut butter and jelly. And it tasted like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It was insane. It had this beautiful peanut butter glaze on it. Then on top of it was a grape jelly drizzle. It tasted like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Nice.
That was the one. Yeah. That was it.
Any of the fancy versions like that, they get kind of creative, that has anything that has peanut butter, I'm fucking down.
That's it. That's all I gotta say.
All right. Well, thanks for your comments, Spaced Cadet. Our next comment is from, Anonymous. Giant face palm. This music is lame. Thank you for your unproductive comment, douchebag.
Our next comment is from Anonymous, who says, don't people know how to headbang anymore? Where's the fucking
rock?
Where's the... This shit's too soft. Talk about some music that'll make you rage, pussy.
Even worse than the previous one.
That one had something going on.
It's some passion in that comment.
The last one was just, they think giant palms suck. It's something. It's better than nothing. Fuck them.
We'll rage out soon enough, I promise.
I guess.
And I'm sure they'll probably have a problem with that, too.
Oh, they will.
It's not really black metal.
Leave us alone. Just let us exist in our obscure corner of the internet in peace. That's your bullshit. This is Trapo. This ain't fucking Uncle Fuckstick's metal corner, you know? Fuck you. Go review your own metal music if you want people to know about it. Let them know about whatever is coming down the metal pike next.
Down the metal pipe?
Yeah, pipe.
What's coming down his metal pipe? Tell me.
Now, dear listener, you may very well think that is, in fact, the end of this week's mailbag, but guess what? You told me there's an email, so we're going to read an email. Here's the thing, dear listener. You got to know something in advance. We don't get emails very often when we are lucky enough to be blessed with an email from a listener. You better believe we're going to share it with the likes of you guys and gals. One of our patrons, one of our longtime patrons, Paisley Jaguar. You've heard Paisley Jaguar's words in this very episode. She's left a comment. But here's the thing. She also sent us an email, so we're going to read it. Look, I don't know what this email has in it. Kai has read like a paragraph and some shit happens. It's an adventure. Life is an adventure, and we're just going to have to figure out what the fuck is coming up next together. Thank you so much for sending us an email, Paisley Jaguar. We're so glad and so thrilled that you have blessed us with your prose. Good tidings, traps. I've noticed you good podcasting chaps have been getting a bit more desperate for emails as you sign off in your recent episodes. I've decided to play genie and grant your dearest wish. So I've got a pair of albums for you to hopefully enjoy, but I've also got a story to tell, and you can read this on your show if you want, but the story is a little long and a little heavy, so if you don't want to, it's perfectly fine. Here's my sad story, and thanks in advance for reading.
I grew up in a rural community in Pennsylvania, raised by an evangelical tyrant of a father. I was the youngest of four children and the only girl, and as we grew up, watching my brother slowly adopt the abhorrent behavior of our parents and other members of our congregation, condemning gay people and minorities, and basically anybody else who didn't look or act exactly like they did, was like living through a horror movie. Invasion of the Body Snatchers in the Bible Belt. We were surrounded by bigotry and intolerance, all in the name of a god of cruelty and rage and spite. We didn't celebrate any holidays aside from Christmas and Easter, and those were entirely religious observances with none of the trappings most people associate with either. The holidays revolved around Jesus, but nobody ever really talked about Jesus during the sermons. Mostly the preachers raved about the degenerates that were dragging our once great nation into the depths of hell, the sinners that surround us and tempted us, the undesirables who indulged in sin and vice. We were engaged in a holy war against not just the outsiders, the Muslims and the Buddhists and the pagans, but the monsters who claim to be true Christians, the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Methodists who were perverting the Holy Bible and tricking millions into unknowingly worshiping Satan. Everybody was our enemy. Everybody was against us. Evil was everywhere. Anyone who wanted to celebrate Halloween was willingly letting evil into their hearts, into their souls, wearing sinister faces and glutting themselves on other people's candy, wallowing in sin. My brothers, who used to be so kind and filled with laughter, were twisted into something unrecognizable through years of indoctrination in this cult, becoming cold and cruel. I was spared the worst of this because I was just a girl. The best I could hope for was to marry a good Christian boy and give him lots of babies, more soldiers in God's army. We lived a stone's throw from Centralia, the ghost town that stands over a still-burning coal fire, abandoned and smoldering. My father would tell us again and again that Centralia was a portal to hell itself, the very fires of the inferno raging underneath the cracked streets to this very day. He told us never go near that place. We would be dragged down into hell by hands of flame. I believed him, but I didn't believe anything else he ever told me. When I graduated from high school, I told my father I wanted to go to college. He told me there was no point, that my destiny was to be a wife and mother, and that I needed to go pray for God to take these sinful thoughts of higher education out of my mind. The next day, I left home. I didn't say goodbye to my monster of a father or my empty husk of a mother. I didn't say goodbye to the racist bullies my brothers had become. I just tossed a bag of clothes into the back of my best friend's car. I wasn't allowed to learn to drive or get a driver's license, and we left for Pittsburgh. Years of struggle followed, but I was free, and no matter how bad things got, and they got pretty bad on several occasions, I never regretted leaving the place that never felt like a home and the people who never felt like a family. But I still felt like there was a great weight on my shoulders, like some unseen hand was holding my head underwater. For a long time, I became militantly anti-theist, and falling in love with black metal felt like a natural fit. I lost myself to darkness and nihilism, and it felt good to pump my fist and spit in the face of God. Black metal became an invaluable outlet for me, an exhaust valve that allowed me to scream and fight away so much of the anger that was in my heart. I was filled with rage at the abusive family that had treated me like a commodity, and the God they loved and feared. It took me a lot of years and meeting somebody who I quickly realized was my soulmate to help me let go of all the anger and resentment that was drowning me. He had escaped a similar background, and together we made plans to escape Pennsylvania entirely, to get far away from this place that held so many bad memories for us both. The day we hit the road, I asked him to make a detour, and we drove through Centralia. We got out of our car and spent nearly an hour wandering through this ghost town, echoes of my father's warnings in my mind. I saw tendrils of smoke rising from an exhaust pipe jutting out of a shattered sidewalk. I could smell something faint in the air, like chimneys burning firewood in winter. I placed my hand on the cracked pavement and convinced myself I could feel the heat of the fire below. And in my mind, I saw legions of souls writhing in an inferno. Hell was directly beneath my feet, and I was afraid, truly afraid. I didn't believe in God or the devil, but in that moment, the devil felt very real and very close. Even now, just thinking about that cold autumn afternoon, I can feel a distant echo of that fear. Shit's getting intense.
Paisley Jaguar continues, "The terrible lessons my father beat into me are still there, just under the surface, scars that will never completely fade. I've been away from Pennsylvania for 12 years now. I've gotten married and I took my husband's last name because I wanted to purge another aspect of my past from my future. I'm gainfully employed and I've got the kind of life I always dreamed of. Financial security, a loving and supportive partner, close friends, a found family, inclusion, love. I'll never forget where I came from, but I made a decision a long time ago not to let that past define my future. And I've also discovered since my wasted youth, Halloween is the absolute greatest thing in the history of the world, and it's my favorite time of year by far. Therapy has also made a tremendous difference in my life, as has transcendental meditation. I've abandoned my anti-theism and embraced a different and undefined kind kind of spirituality, opening myself up to whatever the universe has to offer. That finally brings me to the music I wanted to recommend to you, dear Traps. Do you regret asking for more emails yet?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no, not at all. The work of Lingua Ignota, I'm sure I mispronounced the fuck out of that, has enriched my life in ways I couldn't have expected. Her music deals with religion and spirituality, violence and abuse and misogyny, and it's transcendentally beautiful, perhaps even divine. I discovered her record Sinner Get Ready in 2021 in the midst of the pandemic, and I listened to it without knowing anything about the music or the artist behind it. And I felt like these songs were being composed just for me. I wept and I wept. I was shaken by the experience of listening to Sinner Get Ready, and I couldn't articulate why to my husband. I just felt like I'd been opened up by a sharp knife, and I was struggling to keep my guts from spilling out of me. Hater evokes Centralia in the lyrics, even using the name of the ghost town in Perpetual Flame of Centralia. In Pennsylvania Furnace, she sings, "All that I've learned is that everything burns." It's like she was singing to me, Kristen Hayter's own struggles with religion and violence are laid bare in her music, and I feel like I know her soul when I hear her sing. I love everything she's recorded, but her two full-length recordings, 2019's Caligula, 2021's Sinner Get Ready, are a truly perfect pair, filled with seething rage and splendid beauty in equal measure. I adore the music of Kristen Hayter in a way I still can't truly describe. I feel like maybe I can repair my relationship with God. Bigots and monsters have spent centuries dragging the divide through endless mud and filth, invoking the name of God to justify their cruelty and damn them all. God takes no sides in war. God doesn't hate. God doesn't judge. What fools we are to think we can understand something so vast as God. Even the name is just a placeholder, a tiny word that attempts to ascribe meaning and form to a force that cannot be known by mere mortals. It's not God's fault that we're awful, that we can't get our shit together. I will never forgive my father for making me hate God for so long. For so many wasted years. God is us, the piece of us that dreams and imagines and forges connections with others, enriching ourselves and each other in wonderful ways. Kristen Hayter's music has helped me come to terms with the demons of my past, and it's also helped me to embrace a brighter future. Maybe you lovely people could check her music out and see what it does for you. I just hope it enriches your lives more. So give the work of Lingua Ignota a chance sometime. I'd love to hear what you traps think about it. Thanks so much for continuing to make Trapo and for helping me find another community of weirdos that I can embrace as dear friends. Grumpo is very real, and it's all your fault. Keep it weird, Traps. You're a Paisley Jaguar. You just said Grumpo. Grumpo's real. I feel like I just lost my mind. Grumpo is happening. And it's all our fault. We made Grumpo. Oh, my God.
Those are some of the best comments ever.
Somebody just bared their fucking soul to us right there.
Weirdo to weirdos.
We do not regret asking for more emails, because if people want to send us stuff like that, that makes doing this show worthwhile. That's the whole point. What the fuck else are we doing? I did not expect that. I mean, look, when we started doing this show, it was just us fucking around. And now we got Max Power telling us about their religious beliefs. And like, you know what? Some of that makes some sense. I mean, now we got Paisley Jaguar telling us about her past. And wow, okay. All right.
It's kind of weird in the same breath to have someone basically tell you you're fucking stupid and you suck. And then the next second, I feel comfortable enough having listened to you fucking weirdos a couple of times to bare my soul and tell you an important 5-minute version of my life story.
Lingua Ignota, Caligula, and Sinner Get Ready. I've written those down, and I will be checking those out in the very near future.
For sure.
I heard stories of Centralia when I was growing up, and it sounded like hell. Like hell was spilling out in this place.
I remember the same thing. And if you knew that was like the next town over and your father was like this dude, I'd believe that fucking hell was right over there too.
That's fascinating to me. I mean, that's really fascinating. You know, Kai, I think we've got some homework. We're not asking personal stories like that in emails. We just want you to tell us whatever you're comfortable telling us. We truly do appreciate it. I did not expect when we started this show that anybody would tell us anything real. So all of this is really freaking me out. This is an amazing life we're living. I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled.
Yeah. I feel like we just read a book of short story fiction, but it, apparently these are all people's lives. It's great. Thank you for opening up to us, Paisley Jaguar.
And we'll be checking this out. We'll be checking out the work of Lingua Ignota in the near future. And we may get back to you on a future episode of Trappa, or we may just like reply to the email and tell you what we think about the music. We may do that. Definitely, without a doubt, we'll be listening to this music in the future. And thank you so much for sending us that very wonderful email. And thank you so much to everybody who commented on this, I want to say, momentous episode of Trappa's Mailbag. Thank you, Max Power, for educating all of us on how to make the proper caramel unicorn
and how to throw a hell of a pizza party orgy.
The pizza orgy. Yes, thank you so much for commenting. Thanks for, and look, if you want to join the conversation, feel free, go to trapposhow.blogspot.com. tell us whatever the fuck you want. We don't care anymore. It doesn't matter.
If you
want
to get serious like Max Power, Paisley Jaguar, Archbishop Mac, you can send us an email, trapposhow@gmail.com. apparently trappotoilet@gmail.com also.
Toilets plural.
Trappo toilet.
Yeah, we got that. Send us pictures of toilets. Dear listener, thank you so much for joining us on this magic carpet ride that is Trappo's Mailbag. We'll be back soon with more magic and wonder and frivolity. Until then, dear listener, there's only one thing left to do, and that's you. And we all need to get... John Candy bent over that toilet. He was like, oh man, it's time. It's time to meet Uncle Buck.